Support for Iditapod, a production of Alaska Public Media, comes from MVFCU. Experience the MVFCU way.
Everybody, Quince Mountain is alive. At least he was on Wednesday when I talked to him in this bonus extended interview by phone from Squintna. They've been having a little bit of snow machine trouble on the way down the trail, and so they're pretty far back. You've got mushers at this point all the way into Iditarod, and that's about halfway into the race. And Squintna, of course, is the second checkpoint along the whole route. So we talked about the snow machine issues somewhere in the third minute here. Of course, somehow we got onto the topic of dog poop again. There's even some mention of vomit, so pardon us for that. And we talked about kind of what it's like to send drop bags out and then maybe not need them by the time you get to a certain checkpoint. But basically, it was nice to just check in with Q and hear how things are going. Always interesting to have sort of that insider's perspective on the race. Of course, Quince's wife, Blair Braverman, is a rookie running the Iditarod this year. He's pretty eager to catch up with her and see her, but the dogs are moving along. The snow machine has had trouble, so they may not make it that far up into the pack, but as far as I know, they're still moving, still doing okay. I really wish we had a GPS tracker on them, but no luck there. Anyway, here's an interview from Wednesday with Quince Mountain in Squintna.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Quince Mountain?
It is. Is this Casey Grove?
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
All right. Casey, I've made it real far down the Iditarod Trail.
You're being sarcastic, though.
I have a newfound appreciation for what these dogs do. I can't tell you, driving this machine with problems and headlights going out and stuff, but aside from that, just the moguls and the ice on this river, both rivers, were so terrible that even with the snow machine, I mean, we were hard-pressed at times to hit 10 miles an hour, and our tow sled fell off, and we're not riding junk. We have a really nice machine, but Lou Okowski and I are out here, and it just, wow, many times I wish for a dog team. I think the ride would have been smoother, and I got to give a shout-out to the dealer in Wasilla that I had do maintenance on the machine before we left, had them just do an inspection, and they unhooked the headlamps, which it turns out are really, like, deep inside the machine. So I had to get to Squintna Roadhouse where they let us use the shop, and I could take everything apart and take off about 100 screws and get those wiring harnesses back together. So now we have a machine with lights, which means we can go a little longer and hopefully make more than 80 miles in a day. But I'm really nervous as we hit the more technical sections of the trail, and I see the reports from ADN and so on about, you know, a struggle some of the mushers had in Dalzell Gorge. That might be hard for us even on the machine. So it's really humbling, and it just, you know, it's, again, I just can't tell you how amazed I am at what these mushers and dogs do to go those kind of distances in a day.
Wow, yeah. So dealing with the sleds, and you guys are safe and okay, though, right?
We are safe and okay so far, and we're going to leave Squintna, and we're not going to stay at Finger Lake because I think it's $1,000 a night. So
wow, yeah.
We're hoping to, which is, you know, a little out of our budget.
me too.
And they might have a place at Rainy Puntilla, but we're going to try to make Roan if we can. I guess we'll just take it step by step, and, you know, maybe we'll end up sleeping, like, outside at Finger Lakes. I don't know. But I'd like to make more in a day than the mushers are so we can catch them. I'd really like to at least get an interview with our Red Lantern.
Yeah. Well, thanks for checking in, man. I was worried about you a little bit. I kind of hadn't heard from you in a while, and it's just good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you so much, Casey. I can't wait to hear the dispatches from the other guys. How are they doing out on the trail?
You know, doing pretty well. Ben asked Allie a pretty, you know, reasonable question about some dog diarrhea that he had seen, and she came back at him with, well, I'm doing just fine. Thanks for asking. She thought he was talking about her, I guess. Maybe she was just joking around, but typical Allie.
The diarrhea is the thing that sometimes happens from distance running. You know, there's just a kind of watery digestion, and we've had a lot of runners on our Musher Twitter who have noted that, you know, the same thing does happen to them sometimes. I guess it's not uncommon, and usually the vets say it's not really something to worry about. Obviously, we're watching hydration and stuff out there, but apparently, you know, it can happen to a couple dogs in a team, especially in a, you know, I don't know about Iditarod, but even in a 200-300 mile race, we do see it.
I think, you know, back in 2014, I was in Unalakleet standing around talking with Seth Barnes and someone else. I think it was a volunteer. And we were all just sort of looking at one dog turd, like analyzing it. And I realized, like, I'm here, you know, like I'm really covering the Iditarod now.
Oh, that's true. There's a lot of poop talk. And, you know, if it is something, an infectious disease, then they can give antibiotics like metronidazole and stuff. But vomiting is something we really watch for. That's, you know, you never want a dog to be running and have indigestion that way, because they can actually aspirate or inhale, you know, some of that vomit. So if I see a dog that looks to be wanting to puke, that dog gets off the line. And I mean, we haven't had it happen this season, but, you know, from time to time, if a dog's not feeling good, I'll just say I'm much more worried if it comes out the mouth than the other end.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're trying to keep an eye on the dog to make sure that you see those kind of warning signs, huh?
Right, and I think people who are new to the sport are often looking in these dogs at what they might look for in their pet, you know, and if their pet had diarrhea, they'd be really concerned, whereas, you know, they're used to their pets vomiting all the time just from eating wonky food. But that's something that we actually can't really have happen out on the trail. We have to worry about that vomiting because, you know, we're running long distances with them, and we can't put them in danger of you know, aspirating that vomit and having pneumonia. So we're on that pretty heavily. But, yeah, the dog will have diarrhea, and we'll be like, yeah, it happens.
So not to – I don't mean to say this in, like, a way of talking smack, but, like – Would you say at this point, for your experience so far on the Iditarod, that the dog teams appear to have been more reliable than the snow machine?
I would say that. I'm understanding a little more about the serum run here. I mean, it's so frustrating. Something in the snow machine goes down, and we're just stuck. You know, if one of the dogs gets a sore wrist or something, you put it in the bag and keep going. As long as you have food, you can keep going. One thing I saw on the trail, I had to say, was like, completely demoralizing, is you see the drop bags that the teams left, and everything gets sent back. Everything that a team does not use in the race is sent back to, you know, Wasilla or Anchorage so that the mushers can pick it up, but the food isn't sent back. So any unused dog food is just left for locals, and local dogs, pet dogs or teams will use it, so it will get used. But when I saw a bag with about 30 pounds of chicken skins and beef, you know, that Blair had cut up so meticulously, you know, and it cost about $1 a pound, but then by the time you cut it all up, it's so much labor, and it was just beautifully packaged, and many of the bags are never even open, and she didn't need to take them because it's not a cold race. They don't need that much. I'm sure she took what she needed. You know, there was some meat from Ryan Reddington and from some other people, and I just see it out here, and I just think, oh my gosh, the work that went into it. But yeah. But there's going to be some fat local dogs in Yenta and Squinta.
Happy dogs out there. Yeah, it's, you know, we heard some talk with Nick Petit farther down the trail, and his sort of plans to take his 24 kind of wherever he needed to into the race. And so he had sent out enough supplies in his drop bags to a bunch of different places to either take it here or there or wherever he felt like at the time. And that's something, you know, that you can only really do if you can afford to do that, if you've got, you know, enough supplies that you can just kind of send some stuff out and then kind of, you know, expect to not use a bunch of it. But if you're, you know, on a lower budget, that stuff matters a lot more, right? I mean, this isn't, you know, you don't get into dog mushing to just sort of spread your food around Alaska.
Right, right. But at the same time, you look at sunk costs, and by the time you're out there, do you want your race to be tanked and you have to scratch because it was colder weather than you expected and now you're out of food, or there was really heavy snow so you didn't get as far as you thought before you need your 24. And, you know, so that's smart thinking. I know Blair packed for 3 checkpoints as well. I expect she'll probably be taking her 24 in McGrath. Don't know that I'll catch her before the end of it. I'll do my utmost. But, yeah, I have to say, too, make a little correction. The other day I mentioned that one of Nick's leaders is, you know, in rehab this year, and that's true. But I think I said Christy, and I meant Libby. I was just tired, and, you know, of course I saw Christy out there with the team. So hopefully she's still on the line and doing well. I just want to, you know, give Christy a shout-out because she is out there.
Yeah, good point to make there, and definitely a good point about the drop bags. It's kind of just speaks to the unpredictability of this race and the weather and just everything about the Iditarod. Goes on for 8 or 9 days at least, and it's across 1,000 miles of Alaska. You don't really know what the weather's going to do, if it's going to get cold or what. How I should ask you, I mean, how is the weather where you're at in Squintna?
Well, there's just light snow here, and the sun's kind of peeking through, and it's really warm. Like, I think, you know, some of this is going to burn off, but more snow is going to hit. And so we're going to try and get to at least Rowan and see if we can stay at the, you know, shelter cabin there. But we'll see what we can do. I'll feel much better once we hit Nikolai. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, I feel better now having talked to you, knowing that you're doing all right and still making your way down the trail.
Hey, if any of those other guys, you know, wants to switch, and they, you know, I would take a ride on the plane and they could ride the snow machine for a while. I feel like, you know, Ben and Zach might really want to see the trail up closer, in particular the Dalzell Gorge.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll mention that to them for sure. And, you know, I'm kind of glad you didn't include me in that. I mean, you could have suggested that you and I switch and you could ride this chair here in the studio and I could ride the snow machine, but I'm probably not going to do that. So
Casey, you are the captain steering the ship.
It doesn't feel like that sometimes. I want somebody to come in here and say, Casey, I'm the captain now. But that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. The ship would need rescue from the Coast Guard pretty quick if I did that. But, well, maybe I could hijack Lou Olkowski into helping me. But
I would just let the pirates take it.
We're going to try and catch up with the race. Great talking with you, Casey. Thanks so much for being that captain.
Thank you, Q, and thank you for doing everything you're doing out there. Good luck, and be safe, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to that interview with Quince Mountain out on a snow machine on the Iditarod Trail, trying to catch up with his wife, Blair Braverman, a rookie in the race. You can follow Quince on Twitter at Quince Mountain, Quince. Mountain, in case you don't know how to spell Quince or Mountain, that's all one word, Quince Mountain. Stay tuned for another full episode of the Iditapod. Thanks for listening.